morning, everybody. Good to see you here. I know it's kind of a struggle getting out sometimes, especially when it comes to doing church stuff, but it's good. It's good to have you here. Don't forget Frank and Colin and Pat and Steve and Stephen and Co. Please do pray for all of them. And I hope this is a wee bit of a help to you this morning. So let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, this morning for the life and health that you've given us, and for the desire to be here, for the doors being open, for all the work that's been done. Father, for loving us, for watching over us, for giving your Son as our Savior, Lord. I pray you, Father, please, for all our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be, wherever the full counsel of your word is being preached, that people are hearing, Lord, that you would bless the preachers and the teachers and the hearers of it. Please be one of our number this evening, this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray that the lifting up of your praises, the prayers and the tithes and the offerings and the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your word would be acceptable in your sight. Please be with our absent brethren, Lord. Those, Lord, that are anywhere in the world that just not able to get out and to enjoy a wee bit of fellowship and company, I pray, Father, please, that you would make your presence felt with them. Please, Father, put your good hand upon our government, especially those that are leading, and get a grip of them, Lord, and convict them greatly and send judgment to come. Not ours only, but all governments around the world. In the meantime, Father, we just thank you for loving us and watching over us, and pray that you be with us as we take this time. And Lord, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll start with 244 this morning. 244. Amazing. 244. We'll just remain seated as we sing.
Thank you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband man. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. The man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. The men gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The world hath you, ye know that it hath me, for it hath you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. And now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. For this cometh to pass, and the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen.
Remind you of the wee prayer list. Don't forget to make sure you have one. Do continue to pray for Dr. Yang's friends, the Yang family that lost a loved one there just a few days ago, and the funeral was in the latter part of last week. Please do pray for them. Don't forget Frank too. Colin, we miss as well. Do continue to pray for Mary Ann Wills Granny. Her surgery was put back for a fortnight, give or take. They seemingly did not have enough blood so that they could accommodate her during the surgery. So please do pray for her and for the hospitals. Do pray for each other. It's very, very important what you do. And do also pray for Pat and Steve. Steve has ongoing health issues. He's keep talking about hoping to be out. Please do keep praying for him. It would be great. I'm sure he would enjoy being out, and it would be good to see him out as well. Pray for us, for Norman and myself, as we finish off the last little bits in the church. I don't know if you noticed on the way in, that side of the church has all been replaced. The guttering and the soffits and the fascia have been, the soffits and the fascia have been all but replaced, and the guttering has to go up. And they've needed about a day's work on the roof for replacing nails and bolts. So we would appreciate your prayers for safety and for good weather whilst we do that. Other than that, is there anything else we would need to be made aware of? And you may or may not know that Roe v. Wade was overturned in America. And this has upset a lot of people in the world who now just can't go and kill their unborn children just as handy as they would have liked. It hasn't stopped abortions, it's just stopped abortions in certain places. But like so many things, America is seen as the leading edge of cultural and moral things. So a lot of people in Europe and in Britain have been very upset, one of whom is, of course, our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. So if you ever wondered what flag Boris Johnson was flying, not the Union Jack, probably more like the Skull and Crossbones or the Pentagram or whatever flag it is that devil worshippers and pagans fly, But he needs to be saved, and he needs to start that living for Jesus like so many others. But please do pray for that. I think that's about that. Is there anything else? Anybody think about anything else? Private prayer requests? Okay. Private prayer requests. Alright. Okay. Thank you. Right. Would you like to pray for us all? Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this day, Lord, and thank you for giving us the health and strength, Lord, and the miracle of coming to your presence today, Lord. We offer all the blessings to every head that's covered, and even each and every household that's represented today, both not only in the archers, but also in the archers, the peace of Christ, in Christ crucified, Lord, as well. And thank you for your wonderful blessings, both from the week past, Lord, and definitely from the weeks to follow, Lord. Lord, bless us as we go out, and when we share our faithful followers, Lord, and talk to you, talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and bless our hearts and pay the cost for us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for that there. Very good thing you've given us as well, Lord. We also pray for Absent Brother, Lord, the way good for Frank, Lord. His own loving, provide for generous, plus men to walk, keep safe and well, Lord. And provide for the job, plus a walk with him. We also remember Colin, Lord, good for him as well, Lord. And that's strong upon him as well. With Stephen, Lord, Carl and Sean, Lord. Those men troubles, Lord, help them, Lord. Trying to push a walk to lead save their souls, Lord, as well, Lord. The better as well. And also Stephen Pat, Lord. With Stephen, his illness, Lord. Lord, heal him, Lord, and pray for his condition, Lord. Give strength, Lord, and help him mightily in poverty as well, Lord. Be with us as we sit. We are in your Sabbath today, Lord. Be with us and keep us, Lord. And get us, Lord, be with Mark to come to the lovely gospel, Lord, that you may draw us closer to you, Lord. And our walk is closer and more in tune with what you want us to do, Lord. We thank you for your full love and blessing. We just press again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Right, let's take a big hymn books again and sing some of those songs that you folks picked earlier on. Let's see. Hymn number 261, 261, if you're able, let's stand and let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you. like to play three music for 315, and we'll make that our an ultimate hymn of the service. We'll open our Bibles next, but 315 is Take My Life and Let It Be. We'll just remain seated as we sing. Somebody worked out that there's nearly as many children have been killed because of Roe versus Wade and abortions were killed, I think, in the Second World War. Was there 62, 63 million children have gone into eternity? With Christ, of course, because they never knew any sin or any wrong, but 63 million souls, imagine that. That's the full population of England three times over, all been murdered, because, anyway, we could go into that and spend a long time there. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to read the first 10 or so verses of this portion of God's word, and you'll understand why when we get there. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee.
and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall command thee. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of Roe v. Wade, or God versus the devil. I'm not saying who's for what, where, or when, but it's been a big thing, and it's been questioned a lot in recent years, and the High Court eventually in America eventually struck it down. And basically what has happened is that the authority to allow people to have an abortion came from the President of the United States, whom we all know is not a Christian man. Even the Catholic Church has already noted this, that he's not a good Catholic. But he's not a Christian man, he's not in favour of Christians, and he's not in favour of anything good that God has to say in his Bible. And that authority was taken off the President and given to the governors of the states in America. And already a number of the conservative states have struck down abortion in their states, which means, generally speaking, that fewer children will be murdered in their mother's wombs. Know that you're in the last days when people get upset about not being able to kill their children. That's where we are right now. We have a look at this portion of God's Word. Most times whenever there is a new chapter, you'll get the credentials, or is that the right word, the heritage of the writer. In this case, you see who Jeremiah was. He was the son of Hilkiah of the priests in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. In other words, he was one of not just God's people, but God's men. He was anointed by God to go out not just to Israel, but to all of the countries around about and preach the gospel, warn them of sin and judgment to come. Next couple of verses give us his ministry period. You're talking a decade or a few, in which point he continually wept and preached and taught what God wanted for his people and warned them of the consequences of rejecting God. And the Bible actually says at the end of verse number 3, he even did it right up until Israel was carried away captive into Babylon. And those things are all interesting, but the important thing is whether he was working on his own behalf or God's behalf, because there was a lot of power to be had whenever you stood up and claimed to be God's man back in the day. And these are the words that God gave to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, before you were even born, before your bones even came together, I knew you. God knows little children before they're even completed in their mother's womb. Now, that's one verse, and people might say, God was just being poetic. That is not the case. God just doesn't be poetic. He's more factual than anything else. But Jeremiah got a little bit extra. He said, I also sanctified you before you were born, and I anointed you, imagine, in the womb, as a prophet unto the nations. There's only one other man I can think of in the whole Bible that ever had a similar, heritage is not the right word. We'll call it job calling or job description. That was John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he was to be the one that went before Jesus and told people to make straight his path, prepare you the way of the Lord. Now, even though this was the case, Jeremiah still has his concerns, because he's just a man. He might be a man with the Holy Spirit, he might be a man anointed by God to bring the gospel to the nations, but he's just a man, and he says, God, I'm unlearned. I am untaught. I cannot speak, for I am a child. And I remember another man saying exactly the same thing. Moses, whenever God called him at the burning bush, he says, I'm going to send you to be a preacher, to lead the people. He says, I can't speak. What about other prophets that said, he said, I have a faltering tongue. And he said, well, here's Aaron, he'll be your spokesman. Other prophets, there was one in which God, in a vision, took the hot coals and set them upon a preacher's lips to burn away iniquity and make sure that the words would be his words. And God said, don't you worry about it. Whenever you need the words to give to people, I'll make sure and supply them. He said, I put them in your mouth. And this is very much, as is very much the case when you start preaching the gospel, you find that people are people the world over. Whether you're American, English, Chinese, Russian, African, Australian, Mexican, Canadian, folks are folks the world over. And everybody needs to hear the gospel. Anyway, before we get into message proper, well, we're in the message proper, I want to give you one of the reasons why it's so easy in this world to murder your unborn children. I don't know, has anybody ever heard of the United Church of Christ? But I think it's a denomination in the States. This is a church that is two handshakes away from everybody in this hall today. Two handshakes, they're known to Monica, and this is their comment on Roe versus Wade. As the first denomination to ordain a woman in 1854, that's already anti-biblical, our United Church of Christ has always empowered, trusted, and respected women and their leadership. There's another anti-biblical concern. Wisdom and self-determination. Self-determination is anti-biblical. You need to really follow what God has for you and not what you feel like you think you should be doing. Today's Supreme Court decision is counter to what we stand for and to the wholeness and wellness of women. And that's not anti-biblical, that's just anti-scientific. Because having an abortion is actually quite a perilous procedure. Definitely for the child, also for the mother. While our social justice list is long, it just got longer and even more personal for over half the population. That's also a lie, because half the population does not want to be killing their children. I encourage you to grieve, to pray, and most of all, to act. This is not justice. This is not mercy. It is not walking humbly with our God who made us equal, free, wise, and discerning. Whew. This evening, the United Church of Christ is offering a service of gathering and lament beyond Roe at 6 p.m. Eastern on Zoom, etc., etc. I also invite you to stay tuned as we find ways to engage our collective power and faithfulness to protect women, their rights, and their ability to choose. And I can honestly say, hand in heart, I am sure you could find at least one church in Derry that would think exactly the same. That is the reason why in America it is so easy to kill your children in the womb. Like the churches between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Like God was speaking through Malachi and reminding people, he said, look, I'm off now, but this is what you got to look out for. I'm going to send my herald before. He's going to pray for you to make straight God's paths, etc., etc., I'll be back in 400 years. And that's what he did. And whenever he came back, Jesus, God Almighty, came back, who was his greatest opposition? But the actual Jewish church. And here, when churches can brazenly say this and not feel any shame for their anti-biblical stance, you can be sure they're not speaking from the King James Bible. A real Christian would not be able to sit in that church for very long before saying, hold on a second, preacher. Going to heaven is not of works. It's of faith in Christ's works. Living for Jesus means doing what Jesus wants for us to do because it's better for us rather than our self-determination. Hold on a wee second. The Bible says that if we don't buck ourselves up and give ourselves a good shake, God won't be pleased with us. After all, the heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? I've got a bit of opposition in the building this morning. That is the heaviest rain I have come across in a long time. Like so many churches, the empty churches, there's hardly a Christian thought rattling around it in and at all. But the real spirit motivating them, especially at the moment, is anger. Anger because they can't kill their unborn children. Would you believe that? What sane person would get angry over the ability to not be able to kill their unborn children? What sane person? Not the Spirit of God, let me tell you. And I've got a handful of Bible verses. I think they comprise pretty much one sheet. I'm going to read you a few of them. If you want to check them out for yourself, you can take the sheet with me, or I'll email you the notes for later. But friends, opinions change so quickly. 2 or 3 generations ago, yes, children were still being killed in their mother's womb. But it was a dirty, filthy, backstreet, shameful occurrence. And it was also an occurrence in which the woman's life was put in jeopardy. And many times both the baby and the mother died. Opinion changes so quickly. And in all honesty, it hardly ever changes for the better right now. I've seen opinions change. I've seen our own Prime Minister come in as a man that was going to lead Britain away from the European Union and help us to stand on our feet again. And he has changed from that into a mealy-mouthed pansy, is all I can say. And he is actually quoted, I don't know if anybody read the newsletter, but he was quoted as saying it was a dark day for women's rights. Goodness. Ladies, I am not getting at you one little bit. Not one little bit. But there is a reason for doing things the way God says we should do them. The Bible says most times, most abortions are the abortions of illegitimate children, most times. And if people were following God's laws, those children would never be conceived. Because people would be waiting until they're married. Or they would be conceived in wedlock. In which case, a child coming into a family of a loving husband and a loving wife would be welcomed and celebrated. But for people that are running here and there and everywhere, a child is an inconvenience and a burden. What about the solution that we used for thousands of years to all of society's problems? The solutions that made countries great. But put Britain literally was the greatest nation that the world has ever seen. The old saying was that the sun never set in the British Empire. It had so many countries under its thumb that there was always one of them where it was daylight. That didn't happen because Britain was big, and it didn't happen because Britain was powerful. It happened because Britain happened to be a God-fearing nation at the time. America was the same. Top of the world, and leaders in technology, in freedom, in rights, in food, in choice. And now, whenever we have a government in place in America that is all about feelings and all about, getting bent out of shape about murder, not being able to murder their children, you actually have a clear view of what the world is coming to. Abandon God, and God abandons you. Your blessings go, your helps go, your provision goes, your peace even goes. And you see the things that people come up with whenever there's no God to fill their hearts. Anyway, let's just see what God has to say. Now, bear in mind, we're here to worship the God that created the world, who will save anybody that comes to him. The God that is going to judge in Revelation 20, everybody that rejects him. And no one's going to have a leg to stand on. Let's see what he has to say. Way back in Genesis even. I'm going to read a verse or two. Genesis 49, verse 25, it says, "Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb." Children are called a blessing, and the ability to have them. Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate." That's what God says about children. They're supposed to be a blessing. And yet, just like so many other things in this world, we have referred to Isaiah chapter 5 many, many times because we see good things being made to look like bad things, and we have seen bad things, awful things being made to look like good things. And so most of the world that would countenance an abortion sees a child as an inconvenience, as a sucking wound on their prosperity and on their finances. And there's a reason for that. Because God's not in their lives. They have no yardstick to hold on to. They have nobody tapping them on the shoulder and pricking their conscience, reminding them what's right, because the Holy Spirit has been chased far, far away. We read in Jeremiah what it said. Isaiah, let's read what Isaiah has to say. "Thus saith the Lord in Isaiah 44, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have shown." Verse 24 in the same chapter, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things." And chapter 49 and verse 5, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant." That's three verses. What God says. If it says something once in God's Bible, I think they call this a precedent, just like legal precedents. This is a new thing. It's once, it's in the Bible, and if you had only read the book of Jeremiah, you'd read it once or twice in this chapter. But if you then start to read further on into the Word of God, and this thing keeps popping up, God that formed you in the womb, children that are a blessing unto their parents, you would be thinking, hold on a second, what am I doing wrong that I have the only notion of the inconvenience of pregnancy is to murder the child? How's about, instead of murdering the child, I actually adjust my thinking and I adopt what God says, and I accept his son as my saviour, and I accept his teachings as life and health and strength, and a place to run to and a place to hold to. Lord, for every beginner mother, is that even a term? first time mother, it would be uncertain times. It certainly would be. But what better thing to hold on to that will never move than the Word of God? I will be with thee. This is a blessing. Believe me whenever I say it. On the other hand, this is what the world, the flesh, and the devil believes. These are the words of and the actions of pagans whose countries God instructed his people to utterly decimate, to destroy man, woman, and child, all the animals, burn their riches, everything belonging to them. These people set out to thumb their nose at God and again turn all of God's good things on their head and make them look like bad things. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse number 21. This is the law for the Jews. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of God. I am the Lord. Molech was a god, small g, a devil, that was worshipped by many of the pagans. And he was a huge metal statue, and he had two big, huge hands that sat out in front of him. And he normally was set up on a fire pit. And a couple of 100 pounds of timber would be thrown into the pit, and it would be set on fire. And it would be let burn down like a barbecue until this metal statue was glowing there. And then people would come along and put their babies in his hands. They would literally incinerate their children, hoping for prosperity, hoping for ease, hoping for wealth. And in one respect, he delivered. Because raising children is work. And it costs. It costs money, it costs elbow grease, it costs heartache. And if you don't have that, life will be more peaceful. And life will be more prosperous. And life will be easier. God said, it's not the way it works. In Numbers 31, verse 23 said, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified. That's the only, there's a couple of quotes in the Bible that talk about things going through the fire and being clean like silver and gold. That's not what God's talking about. Deuteronomy 18, that tends to be a reworking sometimes of Leviticus, it says, there shall not be found any among you that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. You are not to murder your little children, your babies. In 2 Kings, it talks in chapter 16 and chapter 17 and 21 and 23. It talks about these kings that made their children to pass through the fire. Even the kings were doing it to appease some devil worshipper. The same in 2 Chronicles. In Psalms, thou hast caused men to ride. No, that's not. That's another one of the ones that says there are certain things that need to be tried through the fire. But you're not supposed to do it. Ezekiel said, thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that opened the womb. Time and time and time again, God has warned us and shown us what pagans would do, which is murder their children. Now, I know that many people think the Bible is just a dusty old book. I wish it was just a dusty old book. And all the stuff that we see going on in the world right now wasn't in the Bible. But it is. The recession that's coming, the famine that is coming, if you've already noticed empty spots in the shelves in the shops, that's a sign of a coming famine. The lack that people have, The great falling away that there is in churches, all of these things are a sign of what's coming, and they've been in the Bible for 2,000 years, and Jesus said, you need to watch out for these things, because those things are a sign of me coming back. If that encourages to get on better terms with God, do it. But most people think these people were savages. Most people think that the biblical times were far beyond it. And I have a question here, which I found the numbers for this morning. That pretty much says, how many doctors, or people who claim to be doctors, have gone into a mother's womb after a baby with a suction tube to destroy it, to kill it in its mother's womb? And how many babies have tried to avoid that? I remember hearing the account of a doctor who for many years had performed abortions on expectant mothers. And he was watching on the ultrasound as they inserted the suction tube into the mother's womb to start sucking out parts of the body of the baby. And the baby actively tried to avoid the suction tube. The baby tried to squirm out of the way. And he said in that moment, he became a believer. He realized that what he was doing was wrong. And how many of those little bodies are sold to medical companies? The organs, bits of flesh, so that they can make these wonderful drugs that so much of the world actually needs. I think they were actually maybe some of them would, not that they would ever admit to it, would actually be worried if the number of bodies produced in this slaughter of innocents reduces. We're not going to be able to get the bits that we need to make our vaccines, to make our chemicals, our drugs, our treatments. How many of those little bodies were just fired into an incinerator, like a bit of leftover lunch? We think we're so advanced and we're so clever. We have not changed one little bit. And why do women expecting a baby turn up at an abortion clinic? Because the child is not a blessing, it is a burden. Because they are not married but have been indulging in physical relationships with a man or men. And because if that baby comes along, they are not going to be found attractive or desirable to those men, and they won't be able to perpetuate the cycle of immorality and illegitimate birth and murder. And it really can land at your door that quickly. Because they don't want the bother of raising a child. They don't want the responsibility of their actions in teaching that child. They don't want the outlay of funds and effort in feeding and clothing that child. And they take one of the greatest gifts that any couple could ever have and treat it like an out curse. I remember many years ago when we were knocking doors in Craigan. The pastor got an invite to go back and visit with a mother who was at her wit's end, in her 40s only, heart condition. We were invited into the living room, and there in the living room was a playpen with a little baby in it. We said, oh, isn't that baby lovely? She said, that's my daughter's. I said, oh. And just at that moment, her daughter walked in, all 14 years old of her, dressed like a prostitute, ready to go out and do it again. And left the baby for her mother to look after. I think you can change a nappy with a broken jaw and a broken leg, can't you? Because that's just exactly what she needed. Pardon me for saying that in church. But people need a good shake. When God tries to give us so many good things and the world has us so convinced that they're not, and that we are more as a creature wanting to listen to the world than to listen to God. You know we are in the last days. How did we get here? How did we get this situation? It's quite simple. See this book, this King James Bible. He produced another one called the NIV, the New International Version. They produced, I don't know, is there 50 Bibles? Is there 150 other English Bibles? There's even a manga Bible where it's full of people doing kung fu and has anybody ever seen a manga? That sort of art in the Bible. And there's hardly anything other than the stories of David beating Goliath stupid and battles and Jesus looks like a long-haired dope-smoking hippie in them. And what sort of respect and what sort of power is that supposed to present to people? But none. And that's the whole idea. Oh, you don't want to read the King James Bible. It's old English. It's very hard to understand. I'm going to tell you something here and now, friends. There is a computer program, there is an app for this, where you can feed the computer program a lot of text, and it will tell you what the average reading age is for that lump of text. And for the Bible, I think it's a fifth grader, which is 8 or 9 or 10, depending on which country you're in. So a 9 or a 10-year-old can read and pretty much fully understand the whole Bible, according to this computer program. All of the other Bibles are rated higher, because in some of them, the contradictions are so crazy, you can't follow it. And by that I mean, they talk about, oh, God the Father sent His Son to die on the cross for us, and the Holy Spirit will remain with us, rest, abide, and remain with us forever and ever. And then at the very back of the Bible, in 1 John chapter 5, it talks about the three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the three that bear record in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all the new Bibles, except the New King James, remove that verse and avoid the Trinity. They hate the Trinity. But whenever you start putting a counterfeit in people's hands, it's like putting a counterfeit 20 in somebody's hands. They think they've got money, they think they have the authority, they think they have the ability to purchase £20 worth of goods until they turn up at the till and the shopkeeper goes, I'm afraid that's no good. And so many people are going to turn up they won't actually, but if this gives you something to think upon, they'll turn up at the pearly gates and they say, it's us, Lord. We built churches. We reached out to folks. We put Bibles in every home in the town. I think, didn't they put a book of Luke or something in every home? Was it even a King James Luke, or was it an NIV or some banjacked, illegitimate copy of the Bible? We did that, Lord. Surely we must be your servants, Lord. You know what he's going to say, don't you? Depart from me, I never knew you, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. All because they refuse to stand on the King James. Oh, it makes us look wrong. You can bet your bottom dollar that UCC church that is two handshakes away from you. In America, you can guess it's connected to Monica. Monica's far-out relations. You can bet they're not reading the King James Bible, because the King James Bible would have roasted that first lady minister in 1854. The Bible plainly says that a bishop or a deacon, the only two offices mentioned in the Word of God, should be the husband of one wife. And that's another reason for all this gender nonsense that's going around. Friends, that's how we get here. Because there isn't a clear sound of the gospel. And anybody that does produce the clear sound of the gospel is poo-pooed and made little of, because we want to fit in with everybody else. Friends, I only have to fit in with one man, and that's God. And when I do that, my conscience is clear and my sleep is sweeter, let me tell you. I go into churches that suit you. You continue in sin unchallenged. Instead of becoming more like God, the church becomes more like the world in order to get people in the doors. And for generations, let's be honest, how long have we been getting God out of schools and out of the law courts? How long? I remember when I was in primary school, we used to sing hymns, one hymn in the morning. We'd have a wee Bible reading and a word of prayer. I remember that. I remember even in secondary school, they did it. And in college, the Portadown College, when I was 17 or 18, we used to stand, there would be a hymn sung, there would be a Bible verse read, and a prayer said. You don't have that in schools anymore. We're afraid of offending the Muslims. How's about the Muslims learn a little bit about Christianity? But we don't want to offend the LGBT. I tell you what, this school was made great by our prayer in the morning and by our hymn and by our straightening ourselves up and being reminded that there is a God that will hold us accountable. Why don't you learn something about it? Or what was it in Canada about a couple of years back? The Muslims, immigrants who were sheltering in the country, complaining about pork in the school dinners. How's about you go to the other 30 or 40 Muslim countries in the world and shelter there? Having pork in dinners is what made Canada what it is. Well, maybe that's not such a good advert for Canada, for pork at the moment, because your man Trudeau is a complete and utter tin pot dictator. And do you know why he is? Because the King James Bible is not being preached in its entirety. You know why Roe v. Wade even came into being? Because the King James Bible is not being preached and adopted in its entirety. And it's not being brought into families, and it's not being brought into schools. And the Ten Commandments are not kept up on the law courts, because you know why? Because those liberal child murdering judges can't look at them without being convicted in their hearts. And that's the whole idea. Generations we've been taking God out of everything. And nothing exists in a vacuum. Something will always strive to fill it. And the devil and the world and our feelings rush in. Not rushing, but rush in. And the whole place becomes like a bunch of devils. Like in Isaiah 14, people just think that whatever they want is the right thing. I will be like the Most High. I'll make the rules. Friends, it's a battle. And it's a battle most, even churches, have lost. Imagine killing a child. Imagine looking at that wee test or going to the doctors, and the doctor says, congratulations. It's a baby. It's a boy. It's a girl. Imagine the only thing that a soul can think about is, well, that means I'll not be able to go out on Friday night or Saturday night anymore. And no one's going to find me attractive enough to spend the night with anymore. Imagine those thoughts going through your head instead of, this is great, this is my baby, this is a reminder of my husband, of me. This is the next generation, this is my opportunity to show the world what I'm made of and raise this little bundle of joy whenever I get it up the right way. Imagine God giving me a child that I can now raise up and give back to Him.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, if people are prepared to do that to their own unborn children, what would they do to a complete stranger? I know God's given us free will. He has. We are the masters of our own destiny. We can do anything we want. We literally can. I know a lot of people believe that, but they always seem to get a bit upset when I pull a knife and ask for their wallets. They don't seem to like it whenever I do whatever I want. But they like to do what they like it whenever they do whatever they want. But God gave us His Word. And He gave us the outpouring on all flesh, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen and comfort and make wise those that love Him and have trusted Him as Saviour, and to convict those that haven't of sin and judgment to come. Imagine the rest of your life being marked as a murderer. Imagine that. Those 63 million children, say 60 million mothers, marked as murderers. I have heard it said many times that many of those mothers never got over it. Every time they saw a child in the pram, they always thought what age their baby would be. Every time they heard a child gurgle or laugh, they always wondered what their child would sound like. And every time they see a little toddler, they wonder how long it would have taken for my child to get on its feet. And then as the years go on, they count the years. They wonder what profession their child would have assumed. They wondered what it would have been like to see their child at graduation or to walk their child up the aisle on their wedding day. To be a grandfather or a grandmother because that child had had children of its own. And those things work on the minds of those that have those things happen to them, friends. I wouldn't want that for anybody. But I want to tell you right now that any of those millions of mothers that sacrificed a child for their own ease and came to their senses, I want for you to know that there is a God that will forgive them. There is even a God that forgave that doctor whenever he realized just what it was he was doing, that it wasn't a bundle of cells, but it was a fully formed, fully conscious human being that was well aware of its impending doom and tried to get out of the way. There is a forgiveness for that person too. But it's not to be found in alcohol, and it's not to be found in the arms of a stranger or in their bed, and it's not to be found jumping out of planes in a parachute. It's to be found at the foot of the cross when you accept Christ as your Savior. I don't know, as the years go on, I honestly don't know why people can't see God working in the world. Because they are certainly aware of the wars between nations and kingdoms. Certainly aware of the plagues that are going about the world. We just had a very interesting last two years. And AIDS before that was the one that everyone was thinking about. Who would have known? We've certainly had plenty of earthquakes. I think there were hundreds of thousands killed in the last 10 years in the Far East in earthquakes. We have had things turned upside down just like it said it would in Isaiah. We have the technology that the Bible spoke about. We have the weapons of warfare that the Bible mentions. We have the communications the Bible mentions. We also have the preachers that the Bible mentions, a bunch of good-for-nothing compromising laborers. We also have the people that the Bible mentions, proud and covetous and boasters, unholy and unthankful. Scoffers and mockers of those that are good, we have those. Every single one of them. I wonder why it is that there is such a push to avoid the Bible, that I reckon if people read what was in the Bible and then saw it happening on their TV, they might say, hold on, what are we saying? This King James Bible is actually telling me what's on the news. And the Bible was finished 2,000 years ago. All of the things that it has mentioned, they're appearing on the news and they're coming true. So, do you know what? Maybe all of the things that are mentioned in the Bible will come true. I'd better get myself sorted out. I'd better get right with God. I'd better repent of my sins. And that's the very reason it's still here. Friends, God loves the little children. You remember even Jesus said about the little children, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He blessed little babies. He blessed toddlers. Goodness gracious me. Why would you ever get upset about not being able to kill little children? Your heart would have to be in the wrong place, filled with the wrong things. And your feet would have to be on the wrong road, going down and not up the broad road that leads to destruction. Imagine that. Friends, if that is where you find yourself, there is a saving for you and there is an alternative. And it will only be found in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness can be yours and peace can be yours at last whenever you ask Jesus to provide it. God loves every single soul. Every single soul. Even Hitler, God loved. Mussolini, Saddam Hussein, those men that were involved in the bombing of 9/11, God loved them, but they chose to go their own way. And God is not going to grab anybody by the lapels. He's not going to force anybody into heaven. Goodness, he gives us a little bit of a taste of it here. And if a soul can't be bothered to turn up in the house of God, you're certainly not going to be interested in going to heaven. Because it's going to be even better, preaching-wise and atmosphere-wise, in heaven than it is here. Friends, someday, you and I will walk the streets of gold, and we will see those 63 million babies that went to heaven as pure little souls that God was waiting for, each and every one, along with all of the other souls that have accepted him as Savior. But that's where they are. They're in heaven now. No more fears or tears. And I'm sure if you ask them the question, would you rather be here or would you rather take your chances being raised up in a family that would kill one of their little children, that would kill their babies, they would say, I'll take care every time. God loves us and wants us in heaven, regardless of what we've done. But the only way to get there is to repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior. Same offer to Nicodemus, same offer to Mary Magdalene, out of whom was cast seven devils. The same offer that was given to me is the same offer that's there for every single soul. But you have to be born again. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate your time and your attention. Now, did someone choose No Not One? I can't even find that now. What number was it?
It's not long before
the
losing
the
236.
What was it? 236. That'll be 236. I'll suggest the time this is bad. Let's stand as we sing No Not One.
Yeah.
afternoon. Look forward to seeing you again later. God bless you. Safe travels. Well, would we dismiss the service with a wee word of prayer for us, brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, I ask this Lord, the fact for the result of the states, to remove the portion from the states, Lord, save souls by the states, Lord, and prevent people from killing the unborn children in the world, Lord. And we thank you for everything you've given us, Lord, ultimately, and we thank you for your salvation, for Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the cross of our sins, Lord, in order that people can see Jesus and see his life and see his sacrifice that he died. And we believe in him, Lord, and the free gift of eternal life, Lord, that people accept to see God, this God, and see that it's good, Lord. Jesus, we're mightily in front of this plan, Lord. We're for worthy, there's Lord. Jesus, we're mighty and powerful. We also remember the Lord, we pray, Lord. Jesus, we're there, Lord. Lord, people stop him from being slaughtered, which would be a Lord, follow. He had his thanks done to him, Lord. Jesus, we're mighty and powerful, Lord. This God, Lord. We pray for this day, Lord. And keep us safe, now, Lord. May we enjoy the more of our trust in thee, Lord. Helps and guides for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Folks, dismissed. God bless you.